My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. In case there's any doubts, the two on my left are John Amis and Frank Muir. The two on my right are Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, a first question to you and a super singer. John, whose voice, and do you know what Verdi said about that top C in the Quella Pera?
Shouldn't do it to a dog. Isn't
written. It isn't there, that's no, right. No. Singers
top
invented
C just
it.
Glowed.
Right. Who's the singer, by the way?
I don't know. I've got a record of that particular aria sung by 44 singers, and I don't think it's one of them. Shall I tell you who they are?
Jussi Björling one of them?
Yes.
Well, then you got the answer to the question, didn't you? Jussi Björling it was. Now, the point is, Verdi said nothing at all about that top C. It wasn't there. It's a singer's invention. Frank, brass band music. Where have you heard this brass band piece before?
On telly, Steve.
Yeah, on telly, that's right, yes.
On television. It's played MASH. For
MASH,
me,
that's right. Which stands for, M-A-S-H?
It's short for mashed potatoes.
Do you know what it stands for, actually?
It's Military Advanced
Mobile
Surgical Unit.
Yes, Mobile Army Surgical Hospital.
Yes.
Played there by Brighouse, or as they call it out there, Briggerson Rastrick Band. Yeah. Ian, your question. First, the orchestra gets in tune. And then it launches into music proper. Which comes from a Mozart piano concerto, K-488. Your question, Ian, is this. Who gives the orchestra its A, and why that particular instrument?
Well, in that particular case, it was the oboe,
yes,
and the oboe would normally give it, except in many large concert halls where an electronic A is sounded, yes, which is more accurate than the oboe, which, although it's supposed to be the arbiter in the orchestra of being able to give it, is, I gather, not judged by the terrific scientific measurements of decibels or what, as reliable as the electronic sound.
Yes, if there's a fixed pitch instrument around, like an organ, or I suppose, strictly speaking, a vibraphone in a sense, then you have to tune to it. Otherwise, the oboe, I believe, I've heard it said, the oboe suffers less from temperature changes, John, than certain other instruments.
Perhaps it was just because it happened to be in the middle.
It's piercing as well.
The oboe has a tremendously clear note, doesn't it?
Everybody can hear it. Mm. I did have a very sweet letter from one of our friends in New Zealand, Alan Wright, who took his 7-year-old daughter as a treat to her very first orchestral concert. And the orchestra tuned up, and then in the little pause before the conductor came on, her piping voice said, "Is it over, Dad? Can we go home now?"
Yeah, that was my experience, actually, trying to teach expose children to the opportunity of hearing good music.
Yes.
And went to the festival hall with 3 7-year-olds, and after 4 minutes, they started doing a thing in their seats, which consisted of arching their body and looking. And I hustled them out at the first decent tacit of about 4 bars. They were out through the front door, and we were having ice creams 10 minutes later.
Was that awful? And you had to miss the rest of a Mahler symphony.
Wasn't that terrible? Yeah. Mahler, baby. Yeah.
Dennis, your question. A singer with a most engaging voice and considerable ability as a pianist. Who?
Hear music, mighty magnified music, the murmur of a morning breeze up there, the rattle of the milkman on the stairs.
Well, I wouldn't have known that except from knowing, slightly knowing his speaking voice.
It's a trap question. It was not Nat King Cole.
No,
was Oscar Peterson making a very rare singing record. Yes, that's right. John, bearing in mind a song that you've heard Ian sing more than once, what has a strange allure? Something that has a strange allure.
It's not the sewer.
It is, actually, isn't it? Can you put him right with the line?
Yes.
Got it.
Yes, it's... wait a minute. The magic of the drain is a thing I can't explain, but it's something that says... Something of the sewer as a strange allure.
I tried to say it as you did.
Lure. And it's calling me again. Down below.
It's from down below. That's right.
I had to interview two charming pianists the other day, Turkish, and their name is Peki now. And one of them is called Gur and the other's called Sewer.
Really?
I wonder whether they changed their name, perhaps. To Levec.
Yeah, yes. Frank, I've had no loving since January.
Depends when the programme goes out, but how commiserating you are.
I ain't had no loving since January.
Have you got January, February, June or July.
And the song being?
Shine On, Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon, yes. Right. Ian, can you think of a song lyric that refers to the wild birds?
Ooh.
Or even two. I've thought of two. The wild birds.
It's somewhere there, but I can't.
Shall I play you a little phrase?
Yes, do.
That's one of them.
Oh, I love the moon.
Yes, and the other one is.
Wait a minute, Ginny with the light brown hair. I think actually, because that one I do know, is she says. I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair, born like a zephyr in the summer air. I hear her tripping where the brown seems play. Happy are the daisies that dance in a way. Then we come to many were the wild notes her merry voice would pour.
Right, yes.
Any other blithe, and it's blithe birds.
Yes, it depends on the edition a bit. Still, Dennis, strange things get sung in songs. Where can I find the line, dig you in the land of Nod?
Yes, when you say it that way, it's to put me off, isn't it? Yes, bye, baby, time to hit the road to dreamland. Bye, baby.
Dig you in the land of Nod.
Do you
remember the film?
Well, it was in a film called That Certain Feeling that Bob Hope and written by Melvin Frank and Norman Panama.
Or Star Spangled Rhythm.
Before that.
Three notes of the common chord.
You've got an aristocratic chord for me.
Yes, rather. I think put them in different rhythms and you get... John, what do you get in this case? What's that? It's a playful sort of... playful kind of piece.
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
Playful pizzicato.
Yes, playful pizzicato from...
By the alliterative Benjamin...
Yes, from Brendan. From the Simple Symphony. Second movement, that's right. Frank, same starting notes, but very different rhythms and pulse.
Everything's going my way.
It's called Who's Been...
Who's Been Polishing the Sun?
Yeah, Who's Been Polishing the Sun?
Five of all the clouds.
Ian, spread the notes out, put them in sequence, and you get a tune from a show.
It's a lovely, lovely score of that show, the Lionel Monckton's The Arcadians.
Yes.
Land of Love and Land of Mirth.
It's Arcady is Ever Young. That's
yes.
The one.
Sung on a race course.
Yes, with that jockey.
Yes.
Dennis, whose signature tune would be too easy a question? The actual title...
Oh, yeah, because I heard that. It was The Archers,
wasn't
it? It's in there,
The actual title of the piece might be a bit too difficult, I don't know. So let's have a stab at the date when this first became generally known.
Badger's Green.
No, Barwick, isn't it?
Yeah, Barwick Green. Or
Barwick.
Spelt Barwick.
Barwick. I always think of it as Barwick Green, yes.
What was the date, then, when that became generally known first?
Well, I don't know when it became generally known,
but I think it first came.
It went on the air, if I'm not mistaken, in the Festival of Britain year.
Yes.
Which was
1951. BBC Light programme. And of course the producer then was our deviser and long-time producer, Tony Shrine. That's right. One curious thing, if you listen to the Archers when the programme starts, you'll never hear the first note. It fades in, it goes...
That's to avoid paying full copyright.
Edges nervously in. It's a curious thing, but one chord, a simple major chord, can take many forms according to the particular way it's orchestrated. Let's establish whose chords those are. John, your E-flat chord comes at the end of something, listen. It's the end of something beautiful and very slow. Particularly if Leonard Bernstein's conducting it.
Oh, well then it's probably Mahler.
No. No. Anybody in the audience recognise it?
Could it be from
the Enigma?
Yes, it's the end of Nimrod from the Enigma Variations.
I thought you said it was the end of a piece.
Well, it is the end of a piece. It's the end of a piece. The end of a piece out of the middle of a piece out of the middle of the Enigma Variations.
How could I hunt for the answer when
Frank, John's
listen to mine and help me.
Well, you, John will know yours, but you are a keen music listener. Whose E flat chord is this?
It's when the juggler's finally finished. He's taking his bow and he goes...
Do you recognise it, John?
Yes.
Yes, it's the Emperor.
Yes, and may I ask you, Steve, who is playing the B-flat in that chord?
Who is playing the B-flat?
Yes, which instrument?
One of the musicians.
It's a famous catch question. Nobody plays the B flat. There is only the E flat and the G.
Oh, that. In other words, it's this.
There you are. Lovely. Frank,
may I demonstrate to the band? It's not this with that, but it's with no B flat at all.
Frank noticed it.
Dennis said the same thing. His eyes flickered to me. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for
Indeed, yes. Ian, the first chord of an overture, you've heard it scores of times in the theatre, in the concert hall, though not, I think, from your dressing room.
That's the beginning of something,
yes.
Oh, well, yes. It's right. The overture to the Magic Flute.
That's our Magic Flute, that's right.
Why didn't you hear it in your dressing room?
Because I never sang in the opera.
You have to make these things a little bit plainer for some of us.
That is, in your case, not a composer, but a band leader.
Well, that's Glenn Miller.
Yes, it is.
But what song it is, I don't know.
That one, remember that tune?
At last, my love has come. Yes. Orchestra wives, Lynn Barry.
Yeah.
Can I have a moment just by myself?
The wettest lips in Hollywood. Well, on that sort of subject, Dudley Moore, in a famous film, used Ravel's Bolero as an aid to what I might call dalliance. They tell me it was months and months after the film's release that the record companies were able to catch up with the demand for it. There was also this. Some listeners found that just a shade unsubtle. I wonder, though, what would you nominate as the most helpful, mood-inducing, provocative record?
Do you mean erotic?
Yes. I said to the producer, I'm going to ask them for their most erotic record, and he said, well, you better not use that word, because some people might not care for it. Mm-hmm. And I said, it will crop up anyway, and it has. The most erotic record.
I think Heifetz playing practically anything, but especially something like the Walton Concerto.
It's not Horace Ducato. I mean, no, the Walton.
No.
The Walton Violin Concerto would be a lovely choice.
It's a very, very sexy, sensual tone. But honestly, I think music gives you a high or a low. But unless you know what the music is about, I don't think usually it would make you feel positively erotic.
Mm. Well, it's sensual, but not erotic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about aphrodisiacs. I mean, whether anything turns you on. If you're in the mood, you could get turned on by the mass bands of the Scots Guard. You know?
Funny you should say that.
No, I mean,
found my secret.
The point of Bolero in that film was it wasn't a turn on. It was the music that Bo Derek liked to make love to. So in that sense, it was a kind of work song, rather than. what they did is they put out an album. Did you know, in America after that called Music for Making Love By. Which I wondered whether it should really carry a kind of government warning on it. So you say that playing this record at the wrong speed can prove hazardous to our health.
Does anyone else wish to contribute on this subject?
I remember many years ago going to a restaurant called the Hungaria, where they used to have a gypsy band, and the violinist would come out, and men could sort of beckon him to come and play at the table. The idea presumably being to sort of get the girl into a romantic... Would you saw girls blushing scarlet with embarrassment and being switched off right, left and centre.
That's true. Yes. They used to reckon that that kind of music was erotic, didn't they? What do they call it?
That's right. If I may just mention for the record I think I would choose is a song called The Island, sung by Patty Austin. Listen to that sometime. In fact, order your copy today.
Get a copy of that.
All the members of the My Music team are fiercely, indeed intensely, patriotic. We all fought for our country, or would have done if we'd been facing the right way at the time. So, naturally, we're very strong on patriotic airs. But let's just make sure. John, sing us the opening line, please, of The Roast Beef of Old England.
I am unable.
Yes.
Funny opening line.
Isn't it?
I am unable.
None of us knows.
Do you know?
I am. Do you know it, Ian?
No.
Isn't that terrible? When mighty roast beef was the Englishman's food, begins.
Nobody querulous little opening line.
Well, yes. Frank, the first line from you, please, of God Bless the Prince of Wales.
Well, God bless him indeed, but I don't know how to set the opening line.
Is you know it, John?
Dumpty Mountains.
Yes, among the ancient mountains. Among the ancient mountains, that's right. Ian. On. A Scottish soldier, of course, but whose music?
Ah, yes.
Strange soldier.
Strange but true.
Yes, it is not actually a Scottish melody. It's from William Tell.
Right, by Rossini.
Rossini.
From Act 3. Tyrolean from Act 3. That's right.
Yep.
Dennis, words credited to G.W. Hunt, 1878. We don't want to fight, but by jingo, if we do, we've got the ships, we've got the men, we've got the money too. But what was the last line?
The Russians shall not have Constantinople.
I wonder, may I tell you,
that's
please...
That's the origin of jingoism.
Jingoism, yes, that's right. Yes. May I tell you a non-musical story, please, which I rather...
Briefly.
Like. May I do that briefly? Fool that I am. It's about Disraeli. It was at a time when England was clamouring for war and Disraeli wouldn't join in. He went to a state dinner at Windsor Castle, sat next to one of the royal princesses, who said to him very icily, "What are you waiting for, Mr. Disraeli?" And he replied, "At this moment, the potatoes, ma'am." But Frank knew that story already. I've said it many times before, and I hope to say it many times more. The quiz part is now over, and we have four party pieces, each one chosen by the singer concerned. So we begin with Frank in Astaire and Rogers' mood, Irving Berlin, 1935, writing songs at his peak.
Oh.
Yes, of course. There's your note.
Every day to be caught in the rain. You were going on your way, now you've got to remain. Just as you were going, leaving me all at sea. The clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break for me. I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in the storm. I can see where you and I can be cozy and warm. Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the sky is our way. Long as I'm left with you, it's a lovely day. Now, Mary.
I can't recall who was suggested this song for John, but it was a good idea. It comes from Schubert's Die Winterreise, Gute Nacht.
And this is not somebody being caught in the rain. This is somebody trudging through the snow, unhappy lover.
It wasn't Schubert who set Dennis's song to music. It was Alexander Farris for the Upstairs Downstairs television series.
What are we going to do with Uncle Arthur? A blooming stallion is Uncle Arthur. When he goes strolling in the park, watch your step, girls, especially after dark. Any old skirt's a flirt to Uncle Arthur. He's over 80, but how he can run. Give us a kiss, my dear, he'll say, and tickle you on your bum da, and say it was just a harmless bit of fun.
And now's the time to sit back, close your eyes if you'd like to, and enjoy a lovely old Irish folk song. Ian.
Could I have a chord of G, yes, major?
My young love said to me, my mother won't mind, and my father won't slight you for your lack of kind. And she stepped away from me, and this she did say, it will not be long, love, till our wedding day. She stepped away from me, and she went through the fair, and fondly I watched her move here and move there. And then she went homeward with one star awake, as the swan in the evening moves over the lake. Last night she came to me, she came softly in, so softly she came, that her feet made no din. And she laid her hand on me, and this she did say: it will not be long, love, till our wedding day.
So you get a bit of everything in my music. You also get a final score for the quiz, which on this occasion means a victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Bye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.